the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, and we'll read at verse number 10. Revelation 20 and verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now just two verses in chapter 21. First one is verse number 8. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And then finally, verse 27, the last verse of chapter 21. "And there shall in no wise enter into it," that's the heavenly city, heaven itself, "there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now we do trust that God would bless the reading of his word. And we appreciate that these are very solemn verses from the word of God that we've read tonight, from the book of Revelation. And we trust that even the reading of these verses, right at the commencement of the messages tonight, might have caused us all to appreciate the solemn matter of the soul's salvation and of eternity, and where we will be in God's eternity. And we've read in these verses about the great white throne. And we've read about the second death. We've read about the lake of fire. And I want to speak for a little bit on these solemn things. And you might say these are terrible subjects to speak about on a Sunday evening in a church service. And they are solemn subjects, and we don't speak about them with a desire in any way to try to be sensational. But, friends, what we say kindly to you tonight, and honestly tonight, is that the point of a gospel meeting is to share with you a message from the Word of God. And we've read the Word of God tonight. A message that will cause you to appreciate the need that you have of God's salvation, and the need that you have of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And to cause you to understand, if you're in this meeting tonight and you are not saved, that your need is an urgent need. And you need to be saved, and you need to be saved tonight. We want to share with you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while we speak about these solemn things, it is a gospel meeting. It is a message of good news. Because as we speak about the Savior, we speak about the one who can save sinners from a lost eternity. And if you come to trust in the Lord Jesus and be saved tonight, you will never stand before the Lord at the great white throne of judgment. You'll never have to experience this second death. You'll never know anything of the lake of fire if you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So God is kind and gracious to us in giving in His Word clear, direct warnings about the reality of sinners perishing in a lost eternity. And wherever we go in the Word of God, God gives us warnings. And I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Himself when He was here as a man. How many times He spoke in very clear and direct words of warning to men. And He would repeat the warnings to emphasize the truth of what He was saying. He would say in Luke 13, twice over, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The Lord Jesus gives a warning of sinners perishing. In John chapter 8, He says three times over about the possibility of men and women dying in their sins. He says, "I go my way and ye shall seek me and ye shall die in your sins. And where I go, you can't come. Ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." Three times over, He brings that word of warning. And in Mark chapter 9, three times over, He speaks of eternal punishment. And that's why the gospel is such a solemn and serious matter. Because it's to do with the eternal destination of your never dying soul, an eternity that lies before every one of us. And there is eternal punishment for those who refuse the gospel and who reject the Lord Jesus. And three times over in Mark chapter 9, the Lord Jesus speaks of a place where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. Solemn words of warning. And we come to the book of Revelation tonight, and we've read some verses from there. And the Bible is ending with more words of warning and is telling us what the end shall be for those who do not obey the gospel of God. We read in Revelation 20 verse 10 about the devil. We read about his final doom. The devil that deceived them, he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. The devil, the one who has dogged humanity throughout its history. We read about him right at the beginning of our Bible. There in Genesis 3, the serpent in the garden, who comes into the garden, beguiling the woman, causing man to sin and to disobey God. And men became sinners and were cast out of that garden, cast out from the presence of God. And it was the devil, the serpent, who subtly beguiled Eve. And now in this final book of the New Testament, we read again about the devil. And we read about his end. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented for an unending eternity. This is the devil's end, only it's not an end, because it's an unending eternity of torment. And this is his final destination. And you know, the devil knows that this is his final destination. And yet, he is the great enemy of the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And he knows that this place was prepared for him. The Lord Jesus said that. In Matthew 24:25, he spoke about the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so he knows he's going there. The word of God has declared it. But you know, his great business is, his great activity is to take as many of the souls of men and women and boys and girls down with him to this place of eternal torment. And he is the one, the devil, he's the one who will try to distract you with whatever he can. The Bible speaks of him as the god of this world, blinding the minds of those that believe not. And he tries to keep you from God's salvation with whatever he can use. And the question, dear friend, for each one of you tonight in this gospel meeting is, are you going to be the devil's dupe? Are you going to be the devil's prey? Are you going to blindly follow him to an awful place of eternal torment, forever to be shut out from the presence of God? And then John, as he continues in these verses, verse 11, he sees a vision of a great white throne of judgment. It's the scene of a final judgment day. We don't know where exactly this will take place. Somewhere it will be established. But I do want you to understand, friend, that it is a real place. It is a literal throne of judgment. It is not just symbolic or figurative language. There is going to be a real, literal, great white throne. And God has drawn the curtain aside to give the Apostle John a vision of it. And John, as he writes this book, the Revelation, is giving to us the vision of the great white throne. And so, we must be earnest to get God's salvation. Because if we do not get God's salvation and we do not come to the Lord Jesus, the reality is that sinners who refuse the gospel, they will stand at this awesome throne. And how desperately sad it would be if there was anybody here in this meeting tonight and you went on in your sins rejecting the Lord Jesus and you find yourself standing one day at this awful throne. It's a place of authority. It's a throne. It's a place of almighty power. It's described as a great white throne. And we might think, why is it great? Well, it's great perhaps because of the great number of humanity who will be judged there. We don't know the number that will stand there, but as you read these verses, you get a sense of a great number. The masses of humanity that have rejected God and his word and the Savior, the Lord Jesus. John sees the dead, small and great, stand before this throne. Notice it's the dead, small and great. They may have been small in this world, they may have been the great in this world, but when it comes to standing before this throne, it does not make any difference. God is no respecter of persons. He shows no favoritism. He deals equally, he deals impartially with all men, equally. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read in verse 13 that the sea gave up the dead which were in it. How many souls have perished through the centuries of time in the seas and the oceans of this world? You know, there are some people, they give instruction for what's to be done with their bodies after they've died. Some people give instruction to be cremated. And they ask that the ashes, that they might be sprinkled over the seas. And it's almost an attempt by man to obliterate their existence. But you see here the dead come forth from the sea. The sea gives up the dead which were in it. How futile it will be for man to try to obliterate his existence. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Man will live as long as God lives, and God will live on for eternity. And friend, you have that never-dying soul within you that will go on into eternity. And so the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. The bodies that are raised here as a resurrection, the dead giving up, are coming forth to stand before this throne, united with the souls that hell gives up. But it's not a resurrection unto life. It's a resurrection unto damnation. and they're bodily standing there at this great white throne. We might think of it as great because of the solemnity of the judgment that comes forth from it, the significance of this judgment, the duration of it, the finality of the judgment. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the judgment of the great day that Scripture speaks of. What an awesome judgment it is. Men and women who have rejected the gospel, they're going to be cast into the dark caverns of the lost, cast into the lake of fire for the endless ages of eternity. There's no possibility of the decision being reversed. There's a finality about this. There's no further throne that they can appeal to. There's no higher court. This will be the supreme court of the universe. And the judgment that comes forth, it is final. It is definitive. But above all of these reasons, it is a great white throne because of the greatness of the one who will be seated upon this throne. None other than the divine judge. None other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to speak to you tonight about the Lord Jesus as the one who is the Savior of sinners. The one who will sit upon this judge, as a judge upon this throne. He's the one who first came in lowliness and in grace. The man, Jesus, who came down from heaven into this world. He's the one who lived a perfect and sinless life. He's the one who went to Calvary's cross, willingly giving up his life. The Lamb of God, the sacrifice that God gave for sinful man. The one who there at Calvary experienced the divine judgment of God for sin. The one who there at Calvary took the sinner's place. The one who there at Calvary shed his precious blood to provide salvation. This is the one who is the Savior. This is the one that can be your Savior tonight. The one who went into death and God raised him out from among the dead. An evidence of the absolute acceptance of his sacrifice by God. The one that God received back to heaven to his own right hand. The one who is seated there as we were hearing this afternoon. Sit thou in my right hand, says God, until I make thy foes thy footstool. And this is the one who in all his eternal and divine greatness is going to be seated in a coming day on this great white throne of judgment. The Lord Jesus said that the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, the Lord Jesus. He is the one who has been given authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he will be man's judge. And so he is the one who will be the judge in this coming day. And Peter, the apostle, was preaching in the house of Cornelius. He spoke about the risen Christ. And he says that he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So we must make no mistake about this. The day of judgment is appointed. The divine judge has been ordained, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, tonight in this gospel meeting, this one that we preach unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ, today, tonight, he can be your Savior if you will receive him, if you will have him and trust in him. Today, he can be your Savior if you will accept him. But if you reject him as your Savior and you go on in life rejecting him, you'll die in your sins. But the Lord Jesus may come again at any time. And God's day of grace is over and your opportunity to receive him is over. And then you will have the prospect of standing before the Lord Jesus. And he will be your judge. And he will judge you for your sins. And he will condemn you to perish eternally in the lake of fire. It's a great white throne. White would speak of the purity of the one seated on it, the Lord Jesus, the sinless one. The one that we were reminded last night in the gospel meeting. The one that God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He was sinless and spotless. He who knew no sin. God made him to be sin for us. That's Calvary. That's the hours of darkness at Calvary where the Lord Jesus was the sacrifice for sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God's holiness demanded a sinless sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus provided that sinless sacrifice. And on the basis of that sinless sacrifice that has satisfied the throne of God, there is forgiveness of sins for all who trust in the Lord Jesus and who trust in his finished work upon the cross. I want to just notice in verse 11 it speaks about his face, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I think it would be true to say that every person will see the face of Christ. Every person, everyone in this meeting, you will see the face of Christ. But the great issue, the great matter that comes before each one tonight is this, is when will you meet him? When will you see his face? Will it be the smiling face of the Savior that you've trusted in, the Savior that you love, welcoming you to heaven to be with him for all eternity? Or will it be the severe, the austere face of Christ as your judge because you rejected him? You know, the psalmist David, a man who trusted in God, he was looking forward to the day when he would see the face, the welcoming face of the Savior. He pens these words in Psalm 17. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know, that is the prospect, that is the blessed hope for every person who has trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. To behold his face in righteousness. To be eternally satisfied when we will be in his presence and we will be conformed to his image. And we will be forever with him and forever like him. How good it is to have that assurance as a believer in the Lord Jesus. That when you reach the other side, it will be the glory of heaven. That you will be able to grasp a hand and know it's the hand of Christ. And you will be able to awake with his likeness impressed upon you. And to see his face and know that it is the welcoming, smiling face of your Savior. But I wonder, friend, tonight, is this your hope? It's our attitude to God's Son in this life that will determine how and when you will see his face by and by. And out of love for your soul tonight, we must warn you solemnly that if you do reject the gospel and you do reject the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it will be at this great white throne of judgment that you will see the severe, the austere face of Christ as your judge. And you will be face to face with him, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There'll be no place of refuge. There'll be no hiding place to be found. You will be defenseless. You will be exposed. You will be face to face with the divine judge, the Son of Man. There'll be no welcoming smile. There'll be no sense of satisfaction for those who stand at that great white throne. There'll be no cause for comfort. There'll be no prospect of the enjoyment of his presence. There'll be the reality that you're not fit to be in heaven. There'll be the reality of your unrighteousness and your sinfulness. And the reality is that it will be his face that will be the last face that you will see before you will be condemned to a lost eternity. The books will be opened, the record of your life. Every sin that you've committed, it's all kept there in heaven in these records, these catalogues of the sins of men. It will be a righteous judgment. It will be a just judgment. Men will be judged according to their works, it says in verse 12 and verse 13. And everybody will know why. Who stand there at the great white throne, everyone will know why. They will be cast into a lost eternity. And then there's another book that's opened. And I want to just close my message by speaking about this. The book of life. And verse 15 emphasizes that this is the final corroboration of this judgment. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend tonight, these things are real. Christians are those who have their names recorded in the book of life. They have their names written in heaven. The Lord Jesus said to some of his servants who came back to him and they were rejoicing because they were able to do great exploits. He says, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I wonder, friend, tonight, is your name written there? It doesn't matter if it's written in the record of anything on earth. It's not about being on the roll of some church here in Kamloops or any other place here on earth. What matters is that you must have your name written in the book of life. And we read that last verse of Revelation 21. There shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defiles whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so we learn whose book this is. Who does this book belong to? It belongs to Christ. It belongs to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. It is his book. It is the book of life of the Lamb. And that reminds us again of Calvary, the Lamb of God who gave himself at Calvary in the place of sinners. And the only reason that sinful men and women and boys and girls will ever be in heaven and can ever have their name written in his book is because of what he did at Calvary. And the sacrifice that he accomplished there. And if you were to speak to any person in this meeting who is a Christian, and you were to ask them, why are you going to be in heaven? Is it because of the life that you live? Is it because you do good deeds? Is it because you attend a church? Is it because you say prayers? Is it because you read the Bible? They would say no to every one of those questions. And you ask them again, why are you going to be in heaven? And they would say, because of Calvary. And because of the Lamb of God. And because of his work. And what he accomplished. And that, my friend, is the only basis for salvation for any of us. The work of Christ. And if you reject this, it will be the second death. And we read a little bit about that. And I just close by reminding you of what we read in Revelation 21, verse 8. The fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, and so on, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here are the classes of people that will not be in heaven. Here are those who will spend eternity forever shut out from the presence of God. It's not easy to speak about these things tonight, but friend, you're in this gospel meeting, and we ask you kindly, do you belong to Christ? Are you saved? Are you going to be in heaven? Well, you say, I wouldn't regard myself as a liar. I'm an honest person. You say, I'm not an idolater. I don't worship false gods. You say, I'm not a sorcerer. I don't go in for spiritism. I'm not a whoremonger. I've never murdered anybody. I'm not abominable. I don't practice those things that God regards as abominable. I live a good, moral, upright life. And thank God for that, if that is true. But I want you to notice the classes of people that head the list in Revelation 21 and verse 8. The fearful and the unbelieving. Let me ask you this tonight as I close. Are you an unbeliever? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus for salvation? If not, you're an unbeliever. You're amongst the class of people who will not be in heaven. Are you a fearful unbeliever? You say, what do you mean by that? Maybe you want to be saved. You recognize your need to be saved. Ah, but you fear what men might say. You wonder what your family might say. You wonder what your workmates might say. What it will mean for you to take your place as a Christian here in this world. Let me close by asking you this. As you think about the cost, perhaps, of being saved, will you also, as we look at these scriptures tonight, consider the cost of being lost? Consider the cost of being lost forever. It's the second death. It's the lake of fire. It's to be tormented day and night forever. The Lord Jesus says to you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times, but if you're still not saved, you're fast heading to the second death. You need to trust Christ. Receive him tonight and never stand before him at the great white throne. May God bless his word.